Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Hello, and welcome to Metro Raleigh Business Radio. I'm your host, Anne Ravel Petcher, here with my co-host, Cal Hackeman.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey, Cal. Well, you got a lot of cheer going on there today.
Absolutely. Great day.
Energy. It is a great day. And our producer, Reed Powell. Reed, scoot over to that mic for a sec.
Hello, Anne. How are you today?
Really good. Thank you.
Great.
We have a really interesting show. I know that we always say we have an interesting show, but today we get to pursue something that I love. I love startups. Everybody knows that I love startups. I love entrepreneurship. I love innovation. And so we get to talk today about a Citrix Red Hat Startup Accelerator and learn a little bit more about their innovators program over there. I have in the studio with me today a litany of folks who are really here to share their expertise and tell us more about what they're doing and why they're involved. First, I have Delissa Alexander, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief People Officer at Red Hat. Hello, Delissa.
Hello.
Boy, you must be a busy person. You guys are hiring like crazy.
We have been hiring like crazy. We're very fortunate that we're able to do that.
Yeah, great. We're going to talk to you a little bit more about Red Hat in just a second. We also have with us Grady Slain, who is with Citrix as the product marketing manager. Hello, Grady.
Hi, great to be here.
I'm so glad you could join us. Next to Grady, of course you can't see that, but if you were here, you would know, is Michelle Harper, who is a entrepreneur herself. She's with a company called Akili. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Anne.
Great
to be here.
See you, as always. She's been really doing the rounds here, getting that company up and going.
Absolutely.
So we're excited to hear more about that. And we have Elizabeth Tracy with us. She's the Director of Community Development at HQ Raleigh. Hello, Liz.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So glad that you're here. So, Liz, I'm going to start off with you and ask you first to just tell us what this innovators program is.
Yeah, I work with HQ Raleigh, and one of our big initiatives last year was to engage the corporate and entrepreneurial community. Mm-hmm. And so Jason Wyden, who's our executive director, he reached out to Jesse Lipson, who is one of our co-founders and the founder of ShareFile, to see how we could get that going.
Right.
Okay. And he asked to get connected with the Citrix Venture Accelerator, and he got connected with John McIntyre. And John came to the Triangle area and was blown away with what is happening in this area. And he said, I want to get involved and I want this to happen here. So the Innovators Program, the Raleigh Innovators Program, launched in September. When we were looking for a partner, Red Hat was an obvious fit. So we are very fortunate that Red Hat has come on board as a corporate partner with the Citrix Red Hat Venture Accelerator. We've been working on this program every Thursday since September, and the pitch final demos will be December 8th.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear more about that, but step back for a second, if you would, and tell us more about HQ Raleigh. What's your mission? How long have you been around? And why would you want to do this?
Yeah, so we have been around for 2 years. We just celebrated our second birthday in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We actually started as an idea that came out of Innovate Raleigh.
Okay.
So 2.5 years ago, the community gathered together about 200 people, and they said, we want a physical location in Raleigh where entrepreneurs can gather.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooke Spell raised her hand and said, hey, I'll help lead that charge.
Cool.
Brooke Spell, Jesse Lipson, who mm-hmm. is the founder of ShareFile, who I just mentioned, Jason Wyden, who's our executive director, and Christopher Gergen gathered together and got the funds to launch HQ Raleigh. And what we are is we're a shared workspace for startups. We're there to provide flexible and affordable space, and we curate resources to make sure that the companies in our space can continue to get connections to grow their ventures.
Great. What kinds of curation are you doing?
We have things like office hours where we bring in lawyers, accountants, marketing professionals, investors that will come and meet one-on-one with companies.
Uh-huh.
We'll do workshops. We'll have workshops on negotiation, workshops on how to activate your social media to work for you.
So is this part of your job as the community director?
It is, yes.
Is pulling all these little pieces together.
Yeah, so I get the opportunity to talk with every company that comes through.
Wow.
Make sure that they're the good fit for HQ Raleigh, and then find ways that we can better connect them.
Is this process one where the companies who come into HQ Raleigh are not expected to stay there for very long? They're supposed to grow up and graduate kind of thing? Or is this, could be this be a permanent home? Or how does that work?
Ideally, we'd love for all the companies to get big enough to grow up and move out of our space.
Okay.
Since we are only in the second year, we've had the opportunity to see a few do that. And we hope in the future that more companies will get access to resources that will allow them to become those larger corporations and start to have their own space where they're hiring 15, 20, 30, you know, 800 people.
How hard is it to get into HQ Raleigh?
If you are a young venture and you are, we have a set of core values, and we want to make sure that companies are focused on growing their venture. They have milestones for what that growth will be, and that they want to be part of a community. And so what we do is we do have an interview process. We want to make sure that they are companies focused kind of in that product space. They are serious about growing their venture and wanting to get connected in the community. And based off of those core values, that's how we choose the companies that come in.
Oh, that's great.
So you, I'm sure that one of the things that your participants focus on is getting funding. So tell us a little bit about how you view the availability of funding here in the Raleigh area and in the Triangle.
Yeah, well, we're hoping that by getting connected with groups like this Citrix Red Hat Venture Accelerator, that we can continue to escalate that. I mean, one of the things that's really neat about this program is every company gets some grant funding that they can put towards their company.
Wow, that's great.
I think also having, and Delissa can actually talk a little bit more about some of the venture funding that they have that they're going to be putting in towards companies as well. But I think the neat thing about having a shared space is that as more and more investors and more people come to the area, they're able to come to one location and meet several companies.
Sure.
Investors want to have that breakfast and that lunch and that after lunch and that dinner meeting. And
don't forget the beer.
And by having one location where they know that they can meet qualified companies, that's what we want to be able to do to continue to help foster that.
How's the support been from the business community?
Incredible. I moved here 2 years ago, and I've been blown away with how many people want to give their time. We don't have enough time in the day to have as many people who want to help be in our space.
Oh, that's great.
I have a list of resources that is more than 100 people that have offered to come in and mentor, come in and offer office hours, come in and do a workshop. And it just continues to come in.
So you mentioned that you have an event coming up where your companies are going to be presenting. You want to just give us the details of that? Where is it going to be? What time? How do people get there?
Yeah, so the final demo day is going to be Monday, December 8th. It's all seven companies from the Citrix Red Hat Venture Accelerator will be doing their final pitch. It is invitation only at this time, but we really are looking forward to hearing all the work and the progress that the companies have made and continue to kind of foster that community of people who can listen and support them.
That's great. Let's come back and talk to you about that a little bit more in a second, but I want to talk to somebody who's going to be a part of that on December 8th. Michelle Harper came up with this great idea. I think it's a great idea because it's something that is near and dear to my heart. In terms of helping people with the technology on the back end of home care. So tell us a little bit about Savvy Care, if you would.
So when we launched Keeley Software, one of the goals that we really wanted to do was be a game changer in technology and healthcare, in that we're really wanting to incorporate the whole idea of user-driven design and to let that filter through to the end users. And so Savvy Care really is a culmination of a lot of work since March and about 80 interviews, both formal and informal, of just really trying to understand the end user, whether they are in our space. These are usually providers or caregivers in home care.
Okay.
And so what
now,
is
both medical and non-medical home
mostly,
care?
Mostly non-medical,
okay,
but can be some medical. And so like elderly care, that type of thing. And one of the things that we really wanted to make sure is that we were really going in depth into not just kind of what does a company themselves need.
Sure.
But what does the individual care coordinator and what does the individual biller need? What does the individual family member need from that company? And so it's been a really exciting time, and SavvyCare really is delivering on all of the information that we have received over the last several months.
So how long have you been in business?
We actually launched in March.
Oh my goodness. You've done a lot since then.
We have done a lot. We have been very, very busy. But one of the things that really has helped us was that we were introduced pretty early into the whole concept of the lean startup.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that the reason we have made so much progress is both implementing a lot of those key concepts early, and then of course getting connected into both HQ Raleigh and then also the Citrix Red Hat Startup Accelerator.
So are you a member of HQ?
I am a member of HQ. We were talking probably for a couple of years. And when I launched this project, I really wanted to make sure as a first-time entrepreneur and CEO that I really access the community so that I can best position myself for success.
Sure.
And so we landed at HQ also in March. And then HQ is also how we got tapped into the whole idea that the Citrix Red Hat Startup Accelerator was even an opportunity for us.
So you heard about it through HQ.
Absolutely. So that's they're really, really good about sending resources out to each of us of grant opportunities, funding opportunities.
Excellent.
And so we got that from them.
Well, before we actually talk to the Citrix and the Red Hat guys, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's like to be a part of the program? You've been in it for what, 8 weeks now?
We have been in it for 8 weeks. It is exciting. It is exhausting. it is sobering. It is humbling. It is a great, great community of people who really challenge our thoughts, our ideas, some of our strategies, but also come along and really support and coach us.
Mm-hmm.
And really the acceleration has been seen. I know that even 8 weeks in, we are so much farther along than we would have been had we never been a part of this program. And so we are abundantly grateful that even a program like this was available for the Raleigh startup community.
Yeah.
It's been really impactful.
Share a lesson. You must have learned a lesson from now.
Oh, I have learned a ton of lessons.
Something that you can say publicly that positions you beautifully, of course.
Well, there's actually a couple of lessons. One, the key things that I really learned to apply in the Startup Accelerator was the whole idea of interviewing and then interviewing without an agenda. And I think for each of the teams, and Grady can speak to this, that was really challenging in the beginning because you kind of have your ideas of what your end user needs or wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so really learning to interview without an agenda and just really listen to what the end user needs was really a huge lesson for us.
That's very hard to do.
It is very
hard. As someone who spends a fair amount of time interviewing.
Yes, it is a challenge. And we've all, I think, pretty much mastered it now. But as we've learned to do that, our learnings have really, really escalated.
Yeah.
And for us, one of the key learnings, we really were kind of we didn't have a good grasp on how a home care company ranked priorities. Was it revenue? Was it clients? Was it caregivers? And one of the things that we have learned through these interviews was that revenue is almost at the bottom. They need to make revenue, obviously, but for them, their priority truly is the client and the caregiver. And so one of our goals is really to make sure that we're not just building a great software for clients, but that we're also building a great software that supports the home caregiver.
So I was going to ask you, actually, what are your, the primary needs that you're finding from all these interviews that you're doing, that you're trying to meet? So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Actually, I can. And so a couple of things that really stand out. The first one is one of the things that I get a lot of pushback on is that there's already software in this industry, that this space already has software. And as I've gone in, I realized that either the software is not meeting the need, and so they may have software in the agency or the company, and they're still using pencil and paper, or they're piecing together 2, 3, and 4 different softwares to try to make a system work for them. So that was something that was really kind of eye-opening for us. Also, no matter whether we're talking about a really large agency in Miami or a smaller agency out in Belhaven, North Carolina, this whole idea of care coordination, and both of these have software, this whole idea of care coordination continues to be such a huge challenge for these agencies, and it's just not being addressed well. And they just want to provide great care for both their clients and their caregivers. How can we make that happen for them?
And you're going to solve that problem?
We are solving that problem. And so Delissa actually has got to see a couple of our executive summaries. And so we've actually had some caregivers use the word inspire when they talk about using our software, that we actually inspire them. We've had one caregiver tell us that they never thought that they would say this, but they were going to get a smartphone just so that they could use the app. And so hearing those kind of things from the actual potential end users is very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
Any major connections you want to tell us about? I'm sure that that's something that both HQ and the Accelerator program is helping you with.
Yes. So one of the, there's several. One, we actually got connected to Simon Farguria. And forgive me, Simon, if I've murdered your name.
I was going to say, can you say that name again?
It is, and he is from Australia. Citrix has actually launched an innovators-type program for healthcare, really talking about what is next in healthcare and the Internet of Things. And so he was a great resource. I've got some great mentors. Michael Harry is from Citrix out in California to really kind of walk me through the funding process and the process I need to keep moving the company forward. So there's several great, IBM has also stepped in, has connected me to their healthcare network.
Great.
So it's been very beneficial.
That's fabulous. Grady Slane, can you step up to the mic for just a second there? I would like to chat with you a little bit about Citrix. You know, so Citrix got this whole ball rolling, right?
Started doing it first initially,
what, in the Bay Area?
That's right. Yeah, it was over in Silicon Valley where they first started this.
Mm-hmm. And how long has it been going on?
I believe that program got started very early, beginning of this year, 2014.
Oh, right. So it's a brand new program.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So how is it structured?
Well, it is a three-month residency where they teach teams in the program a combination of basically design thinking and Lean Startup methodology.
Oh, cool.
So it's, and for this program, it's a mix of both internal entrepreneurs and these early stage startups.
So was it historically only Citrix companies that were doing it when it first got started?
Or? It was a focus on both these early stage startups and a couple internal teams as well. That's been mirrored in this program too.
What kind of teams are coming out of Citrix?
Well, there's two teams that come out of Citrix this time around. There is one internal team that is focusing on trying to project kind of sales presentations and things like that and make on televisions and make it easier.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then our team is focusing on trying to give people time back in their day by taking around, I know, like, right? Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
Universal need. No, it's by kind of taking away some of the hassle and time required to manage your email and task flow throughout the day.
Cool. Great. So there's the two from Citrix in the program this time. How many additional companies are in the program?
Well, on top of the two that are internal, there's five external teams.
Okay. So eight.
Of which Michelle is one of them.
Wow. So you've got your own. So you've got like two hats here in the studio.
That's right.
I'm
going
to go back to your Citrix hat for just a minute.
Okay.
Why did Citrix think it was important to do this?
I mean, a focus on entrepreneurship and innovation is critical for any technology company. Technology is one of the fastest changing industries in the country, if not the fastest.
Right.
And companies that fail to innovate, fail to change, fail to adapt,
right,
more often than not, they're closing their doors.
Mm-hmm.
So by really embracing and trying to fuel innovation and entrepreneurship, Citrix is ensuring that it's not only relevant for the next 25 years, it's our 25-year anniversary this year, but also that we're flourishing for those next 25 years too.
Cool. So Raleigh was a logical step because Citrix is now in Raleigh. Where else in the world do they have these programs?
Well, the program in Bangalore actually just got started recently
as
well. So these two programs are running concurrently with one another.
That's cool.
So
that's really cool. So three programs now.
That's right.
That's really cool. So one of the things that Citrix ostensibly is known for is its culture, that they've actually done a really good job of building an internal culture. Are you seeing any of that move into this program?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the fact that Citrix as a company is willing to take full-time employees and migrate their entire workload for 3 months into something that they are passionate about,
yeah,
I think is a huge demonstrator of the fact that they really care about their employees and that this is a core component of their culture as a company. And I think it's one of the big reasons that Citrix is so well known as being a great company to work for.
So who does your work? When you're off creating something new, who's back at the ranch?
Well, we got a couple brand new people on the PMM team to help out with it. They're doing a great job.
Very cool.
So tell us a little bit about how you got to Citrix, because you have kind of an interesting history in terms of getting there, and what'd you do before?
Well, I joined the ShareFile team prior to it being acquired by Citrix in 2011. So I joined in June 2010. I was one of the first 30 employees. And so I've been able to see the company really explode in growth, not only on its own, but particularly when Citrix acquired it, just the growth just accelerated so much. So it's been really a privilege to be part of that.
Now there's an MBA, right?
Yeah.
The lessons you learned, right? No joke.
Well, I know the ShareFile had a pretty interesting culture. Mm-hmm. And office setup and whatever. So how was it to transition from that to Citrix?
Step by step. Yeah. We started off in a over not too far away from Crabtree Mall in Raleigh.
Right.
And I recall when everybody could in the company could fit in a room roughly this size right here.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, that expanded to the point where we do company meetings now, we have to rent out the Raleigh Convention Center.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it doesn't happen all in one step, and you know, because it happens step by step, and because I've been a part of it for so long, I've been able to get to know a lot more people than I think otherwise I would have been able to. So, again, it's been a privilege.
So, let's talk a little bit about this enormous growth that you had both at ShareFile and now that you're having it at Citrix. How do you guys do it?
We have some really excellent leadership, and I think that we have a set of core values that helps guide every employee so that they're really giving their all into the company. But it's also because the company is really investing in those employees as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that because ShareFile and in particular Citrix is so good at that, that we're going to be able to keep this going for a while.
I'm just curious, there may be people out there who don't actually know what Citrix does. Can you provide an umbrella overview of all the different things the company does?
Well, there's a lot of things that Citrix does, both for, you know, small companies and large companies alike. But I think that as a umbrella perspective, Citrix is about making it easier for people to work and live their lives their way. So that might be enabling them to get work done away from the office more easily via virtualized desktops or via technology like GoToMeeting. Or it might be just, you know, giving them more time back in their day so that they can focus on what matters to them.
So how did they get to choose you and your other counterpart to be part of this program? What was that process like?
Well, there was an internal application process. Okay. So there were a number of teams that applied, but again, only two got selected. So
lucky you.
Yeah, I know.
That sounds great. Well, there's another organization really, really involved in this program. And I want to talk with Delisa a little bit about how Red Hat got involved with this. But first, before we go there, can you just give everybody an overview of Red Hat? Because you guys are growing like crazy.
Red Hat has a great brand. People see our big sign.
Your big red hat.
Our big red hat. But they don't necessarily know what we do, so I'm happy to share a little bit more about that.
Good.
We are the leader in community-powered innovation. What does that mean? We are a driver of open source software development. And that type of development is a very different model for developing software as compared to proprietary development. Mm-hmm. What happens is a community of people come together that want to solve a particular problem. And it's a software solution that they're designing. And they may or may not work for the same company. They may or may not ever see one another. Mm-hmm. But they get involved in communities. And they share, and they can all see the code regardless of whom they work for, or even if it's just a hobby. And anyone can see the code, can contribute to advancements, improvements, bug fixes, things like that. And it's a really rapid way of innovating.
Well, so this is an online community that exists.
Yes.
And obviously that's really big for programmers. They love their online
communities.
Yeah,
there are many, many different communities. What Red Hat does is we take that software that's been developed and we harden it for enterprise customers. So we contribute and we lead some communities and some we just participate in. But what we do is we make that software consumable by businesses. So companies and stock exchanges and hospitals and energy companies can run their infrastructure technology safely and reliably using open source software.
Why is open source a better solution than not open source?
Well, we believe it's a faster way for innovation to happen. Oh. And it's also very safe. So if you think about security concerns, because there's so many eyes that get to see the code, we have a saying, with many eyes, all bugs are shallow.
Oh.
And so it helps with the security feature, just the opposite way of, as you would think of it. And similarly, the way that copyright law normally protects people from seeing the code without a license, under open source software licensing, it actually requires sharing. So that if someone is using that code and wants to distribute it, they have to distribute it with the source code so that others can improve it. And so it's just a rapid way of innovating.
That's really interesting. We have I was really intrigued to see that Red Hat partnered with Citrix on this. I just had, besides the fact that you're like several blocks apart, outside of that, I had never put the two companies in the same room in my head. What brought you together? How did this, is this an HQ thing to do this, to bring the two of you together?
HQ was a matchmaker for sure. But I also have to say that our folks were actually contacting the Citrix folks at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
And so HQ told me that my people in Westford were contacting the folks in Citrix and brought us all together. So we had, I guess, mutual interest at the same time.
Oh, wow. Obviously, that's very
attracted
cool.
Yeah. to one another.
Well, so Citrix has some of its own employees involved in this. Are there any Red Hat employees in this program?
We have employees involved, but from an advisory perspective.
Uh-huh. So not launching something.
Not launching something this time.
So what is the real goal? What do you really want to get out of this, about your get out of your participation in the program?
One thing that we are really passionate about is trying to help spur the next Red Hat in our community.
Oh, cool.
We're here because, you know, we grew up in Raleigh, yeah. and we've been able to find great talent and to grow, and to do, I think, good things for the community. But we were thinking about, as we became a bigger corporate citizen, and we're moving to downtown Raleigh and taking that big space and putting the big red sign up, you know, what can Red Hat do for the community as a community citizen that's different than any other company is positioned to do?
Right.
And what we decided is we were going to focus on spurring innovation and entrepreneurship. So we got involved with Innovate Raleigh several years ago, and we've been involved with the CED, of course, Chambers of Commerce.
Sure.
But we also recently were looking for what gaps needed to be filled. And one of the gaps was around venture capital.
Mm.
And so we invested in Bull City Ventures, which is a local venture capital company.
Yeah.
So we can be part of that part of the ecosystem as well. Red Hat Ventures is now up and running. And so some of our folks are coming in and participating in the Citrix Accelerator with that and helping to provide guidance. And so we're trying to do everything we can to be a part of the community that helps to drive innovation so that our talent that's here will feel like they're living in a vibrant community lots of opportunities.
Sure. So what do you tell somebody who's thinking about moving to Raleigh, whether it's a business owner or whether it's, you know, fresh out of school or thinking they want to get away from the high cost of living in California?
Well, that's a great sell, obviously. Well, Red Hat finds that it's really easy to attract talent here because Raleigh and the RTP area is really vibrant, and it's changed so much in the last 10 years. It's just amazing.
It's changed in the last 3 years.
In the last 3 years.
It's crazy.
It's so true. But you've got the students that are really creating a lot of energy because all the different colleges. And then you also have the business community that's thriving. And you have this passion around what we're all trying to do in creating a top five hotspot for innovation.
Sure, right.
So we're all united in this mission. And what you find is that there's been a no better time than now to be a startup in this community, because the community has come together because we want startups and we want innovation.
Right. Yeah.
So you use the term ecosystem, which we hear a lot, especially around entrepreneurial communities and the venture community, the venture ecosystem and whatever. Just kind of explain that a little bit.
Well, if you think about what it takes to create a thriving new business, there's a whole system at play. You need the venture capital community or some type of capital that's available to drive the growth, to fund the growth. You need talent. One thing that we find, and one of the reasons that Bull City was so interesting to us, is they are really focused on the talent that's leading a company and helping that talent to be able to make the decisions and have the leadership skills, and as well as the, you know, the expertise to be able to create the business plans and also to drive that business. You need people who are willing to mentor, who can help startups understand what customers are going to need. You heard that from SavvyCare.
Right,
they're
exactly.
So focused on their customers and the stakeholders of their customers. So you need to be able to help startups understand what their potential customers are going to need. And that's why Citrix Red Hat Accelerator is so unique, mm-hmm. because there's such a huge emphasis on early feedback from customers.
That lean startup thing.
It's so important. Yep. And it's such a driver for rapid business planning. That helps those innovators actually be able to figure out, is my business going to take off or not, much more rapidly, so that they're not spending a lot of time, spending years and years doing something that isn't really what the customers need.
Yeah.
So you're the chief people officer at Red Hat, which must be a very, very cool job to have. I'm sure
it's a cool title.
It's a cool title. I'm sure there's a lot of work associated with that, but it must be a very cool place to be in the company. And you keep mentioning, you know, building this entrepreneurial community, and obviously people are a huge piece of that. So how are we doing in terms of, I mean, I hear this all the time from the venture capitalists, from everybody, you know, they're saying, you know, one of the big things is that you got to have a community where, you know, people come and they feel comfortable, and they feel like, you know, if whatever they came for doesn't work out, that, you know, they can go someplace else. Right. How are we doing on that in terms of getting people comfortable that Raleigh is, in fact, you know, an innovation center?
I would be interested to hear what our innovators think. What we have observed is that in the last 3 years, there has been a huge change in the perception of our area. We're starting to actually get some media coverage on it as well. But more importantly, what you really need is that density of relationships.
Right.
The serial entrepreneurs, people that come in and go out. And so Jesse, for example, is someone who we think will be one of those, will play that type of role.
Right.
And then connect in so that the vibrancy and the density really come together. And that's one thing that has been lacking in our community. And we've been really focused on how we can support that by having more and more startups that are successful. And what happens typically is once someone starts a company, they usually get the itch again.
Right.
And they want to start again, or they want to mentor others. And so it's a virtuous cycle. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing more of that.
Yeah. And there is a real correlation between open source software and an open source ecosystem, right? I mean, people have to be comfortable with employees coming and going, gaining new experiences, maybe coming back, right?
I think about that a lot because I've been at Red Hat for 13 years.
Wow.
Long time. So yeah. We had just gone public. And I'm so thrilled because I'm starting to see a boomerang effect.
Ah.
People do go out and they try new things.
Right.
And then some people come back. And when they come back, they're so excited to be back because they've learned something, they gained some new skills, they got a different perspective, and they're really thrilled to be back. It's mm-hmm. a choice.
Yep.
So that's definitely happening.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Tell us a little bit, both of you entrepreneurs in the room, tell us a little bit about how you respond to that. How do you feel about the triangle, if you will, as a resource for you as an entrepreneur?
Thanks. Actually, I can say that I was pleasantly floored at the support that was really provided to entrepreneurs. You just kind of have this idea that it's almost you're going on your lone island and you're trying to do stuff. And I so didn't want that. I really kind of got the concept early on about the power of community. And when I got connected in to HQ, the plethora of resources that are available now for entrepreneurs and first-time startups is enormous. And anywhere from legal counsel to media counsel to just how to, today I have an opportunity to practice my pitch for when I start doing venture pitches. It is just enormous, the amount of resources between all of the different players for the entrepreneur. Mm-hmm.
And so what about this side of the table? Are we feeling like there's a lot of support?
Absolutely.
Out there? It's not just within Citrix?
Not at all. Red Hat's been incredibly supportive.
Yeah, no doubt.
HQ Rally has been absolutely critical. You know, the having that in the area is such a resource for early stage startups. But it's also, you know, events like Startup Weekend coming to the area,
sure.
Schools in the area like Duke and NC State are starting to get more involved in promoting entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It really is a cultural shift that's happening in our area, and it's going to make things infinitely better. Very excited to see where it goes in another 3 years.
There's just always something to do that has something to do with entrepreneurship. I mean, even this week, while it's not entrepreneurial-centric, you know, Internet Summit is really going to take a lot of our companies and help them get to that next level. There's just always something going on. I think one of the fun things about, I'm just going to come back and give a little praise to HQ, if you don't mind. One of the cool things about HQ and the way it's set up is, you know, first of all, there's Windows, which is a nice thing, a nice change for some of the other places that start companies up.
Natural light is really key.
It is really key, and it's all very glassy inside. It's very easy, but when you just sit there, you know, I walked in the other day and I had an hour to blow before a meeting, and I just sat there and started working. I must have been like 10 or 15 people coming, hey, Anne, you know, what's going on? And let me introduce you to. I must have met 10 people in an hour that I never would have met. But just the way you've got the whole thing set up really is an encouraging thing. So it's like, you need to meet this person who's starting this new company that's doing a gluten-free blah, 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 blah. And that leads to another connection. So it's a really lovely place to be.
Thank you. We spent a lot of time before we moved into the new location working on the design. We met with three or four different brainstorm groups to get feedback from our members and outside community on what they wanted to see in the new location. And we had an advantage of having had another location and being able to see what worked and what didn't work to kind of build that community. So we kind of tell people, you get what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hang out there and if you introduce yourself to others, just like you said, it's pretty incredible how much one connection can multiply.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So is the Citrix Red Hat Accelerator, does it have a physical location?
Yes, it's at Citrix.
It is, yeah. It's at the new office downtown.
Which is very cool, by the way.
It's very cool.
Very cool building. Great thing for downtown Raleigh.
Absolutely. Really, it's a phenomenal facility.
So is it a office? Is it a floor? Describe it for us.
Well, you know, all the teams, they get together on Thursdays for ongoing education.
Oh,
so
wow,
we're
cool.
Receiving, you know, ongoing feedback and support and instruction from the mentors and instructors in the program that they keep us on track. But that takes place in the training facilities at the new office that are really well designed for not just in-person participants, but also remote instructors and participants as well.
Yeah, I would think Citrix would be pretty good at that.
Yeah, you know, just a couple years of experience.
Some technology helping
with
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, one of the things that strikes me that all of you have really talked about is this focus on the customer. I've been in the technology industry for years and years and years, and years ago it used to be the focus used to all be on the product. Make the best product and people will come and people will use it, right? But now it seems like you're all talking about, you know, let's listen to the customer first and then let's meet their needs and whatever. So how difficult is that?
Michelle is laughing at the other end of the table.
You know, it used to be difficult. I think it used to be difficult to create the wow product, okay? You know, and there are lots of stories about, you know, software programs being delayed for years because, you know, they couldn't get the last bug out of them or whatever. But you guys are starting in a totally different place. So you're starting with a group of customers, okay, that all don't have the same needs or wants or desires. How easy is it to collect all that information and then actually do something with it and produce something that makes, you know, as the saying goes, most of the people happy most of the time?
It's not an easy task. I mean, we're putting in a lot of, long days in order to do it the right way. But we are doing it the right way. Had we gone into this program with our original idea, we would have produced a product a great product that nobody would have wanted.
There you go.
And really emphasizing lean startup methodology. We're still trying to make great products, as you talked about before.
Of course.
But it's entirely driven based off of what the customer really wants and really cares about. And by doing that, we're making better products than we otherwise would have made. And, you know, it's very laborious. At this point, we're 60 interviews in, and we have another 40 to go at least before the end of the program. But by doing, by focusing on the customer, we're making sure that our product is much more viable than it would have been otherwise.
And I've got to guess that the feeling at the end of the day when you have a bunch of raving fans has got to be tremendous.
It is a great feeling, yeah.
Michelle?
To add to that, Grady, I think one of the things that has been advantageous to this methodology is that we get confirmation or affirmation along the way that we really are delivering what the end users is wanting. And I think what is happening, and this may be overly broad, but what is happening is that, especially in the field that we're in, the target area that we're in, is that they're really not so much interested in the wow anymore. They really need something that works.
Yeah.
And not works from a developer's perspective. Can we really combine the whole idea of functionality and usability? They don't want one or the other. They want them both.
And they want them in the same program.
And they want them in the same program.
Same app or whatever. One-stop shop. Don't ask me to piece this stuff together, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think one of the other exciting things is it is amazing how insightful the end users are. And they're really great at communicating some things that we internally would never have thought about that are very easy, simple fixes that makes a nice-to-have into an absolute must-to-have. Yeah. And so it's a really cool process. It's actually been very quick. You know, we started in March. We're making a pretty big product, and we'll have our first starter product to market in the beginning of December.
Well, it's, you know, the world has changed so much. When I was working on helping to launch Windows 3.0, let's date me, people were like not savvy about how to use technology in the business. And today, everybody uses technology in the business every day. So it makes all the sense in the world to go to the customer first. I think in 1990, it was less important to go to the customer first because they had no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you were a technologist, you're going to do what? What's a mouse? You know, seriously, what's a web? It didn't exist, so you couldn't get that kind of feedback. Today, I think you've got people thinking entrepreneurially. I look at my son's about to graduate from Georgia Tech. He's gonna have a business degree, but with a certificate in entrepreneurship because entrepreneurship is such a driver. Everybody is on the bandwagon. People aren't, you know, the vast majority of people, I think, societally are more well-educated about technology.
I think that one of the benefits of having two great corporations involved and being housed in Citrix is we get to have that feedback constantly.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, just last Thursday, two of the design team members from Citrix left their project and came into the classroom to help give feedback on UI UX design.
Oh, wow, cool.
The California team with Citrix is calling in every Thursday, and they're kind of this voice like Oz in the background giving constant feedback and driving home that point to have your interviews actually proven this. And so having such a diverse team, we have the executive council with members from Red Hat and IBM and Bull City Ventures. They're just having all those people is really, I think, crucial to leading that.
So we should probably give these folks an opportunity to tell folks how to get in touch with them. Should we do that?
I think we should probably do that. And if you would each, I think actually what I'd like to do is, Delisa, would you start, tell people how to get in touch with you regarding Red Hat, and then how do people get in touch with, to get more information about the actual program?
So for me, I'm Delisa at Red Hat. That's my Twitter.
And could you spell it, please?
DelisaAtreDhat.
There you go.
Very simple. And in terms of the program conclusion, this particular one is December 8th. And so we have not yet set a date for a startup of the next program.
Oh, but
so
it sounds optimistic. It does like there will be one.
Sounds like it could be. We'll see if these people do a great job for us.
No pressure at all.
And Grady, why don't you tell us, first of all, do you have a product name?
We do. Our product is called Rebar.
Rebar.
That's right.
So it's very strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
You can learn more about it at getrebarapp.com.
Excellent.
So if there's any questions about what we're working on, you can go there.
Tell us about Citrix. How do we get in touch with Citrix if we have some queries?
I would suggest visiting the site, www.citrixinnovatorsprogram.com.
Excellent.
To learn about some of the past programs and what's coming up with future stuff as well.
Okay, super. Michelle, tell us a little bit about Akili, how we get in touch with you to learn more about SavvyCare.
Absolutely. Actually, you can go directly to our SavvyCare site.
Okay.
www.savvycare.com.
You want to spell Savvy?
Savvy is S-A-V-I-I. So SavvyCare.com. You can also contact me directly at Michelle at akilisoftware.com. So Akili Software. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, both at SavvyCare.
Excellent. Great. And if we want to learn a little bit more, if we got a startup idea here, how do we get in touch with HQ? Liz?
Yeah, definitely. Well, just off of Delissa's point, there will be a second one. So if
that's an official announcement. News
right.
breaking.
Great.
Breaking news.
If other companies are interested in applying, or there's other corporations that want to be involved from a mentorship perspective or a sponsorship perspective, they can email us at info@hqraleigh.com. Where they can follow us on Twitter at HQ Raleigh.
That's great. Well, I want to thank everybody in the studio, both for coming and being on the show and telling your story, but also for all the work you're doing to support entrepreneurship and helping to make this region a really growing and exciting place to be.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And until next time, this is Anne Revelle-Petcher with Cal Hackman and Reed Powell saying goodbye.